Center for Action and Contemplation presents Authentic Transformation with Father Richard Rohr. This talk was presented via live webcast in February of 2016. Part 2 of 2.
Carolyn will lead us. Carolyn is an Episcopal priest who is one of the two spiritual directors in our living school. And we're happy to have her here today.
Thank you also to those of you who have already sent in questions. And those of you in the studio, if you have questions you want to place in the basket, please feel free to do so. We have quite a number that have already come in from many places, and so we'll get started with this. An anonymous friend asks, how is the process of transforming society related to the process of individual transformation?
Oh, that's probably a good starter, isn't it? I hope I can get...
We have several here on politics.
I hope I can give some kind of answer. Well, obviously, what I would want to say and what you would want me to say is we better be asking both questions, because I do think up to now we've privatized and individualized salvation as something that was all about the individual going to heaven. Perhaps more than anything else, that has anesthetized and cheapened the gospel message of salvation, that God doesn't seem to care much about the corporate, about the whole, but just the individual. And, you know, it's evident to me as a student of the Hebrew Scriptures that the great love affair that Israel enters into with Yahweh is all corporate, social, systemic. God is saving Israel. God is saving history. God's covenants are with society. And I don't think we later Western Christians recognize what a scandal it is, how we have narrowed and cheapened the gospel by making it into private individuals going to heaven, as if you could go without the rest of us, as if there could be a heaven unless we're all in it together. And so the individual transformed person would logically be seen as, I guess, the beginning place, that we got to start by changing your consciousness. But I hope the invitation, and that was my second step, is that this immediately invites you into the outer world, into the world that, first of all, doesn't look very religious and doesn't need to look religious. In fact, my friend Ron Rollheiser says that secularism is the inevitable child of the incarnation. Once you get the fact that God has taken on flesh, then you see the incarnate flesh everywhere, and the whole distinction between sacred and secular falls apart. So you will find yourself doing and attracted to maybe very what we used to sadly call secular things, having jobs that don't look like they're churchy jobs at all. But again, it isn't what you do, it's how you do it. I'll take a lawyer, I'll take a construction worker, I'll take a nurse or a woman at the department store who's doing his or her work with love and with a smile and with joy in her heart any day over a grumpy priest at the altar. And we have a lot of them. And this isn't helping the cause. So we have to recognize that the link is essential between individual conversion and transformation of history. Now, I don't know what God's intention is. You know, is the second coming of Christ going to be when everybody gets it? I doubt it, you know. But is it going to be when there's been a bride prepared to make love to the bridegroom? That there's what we would call today, you know, a sufficient number for humanity to say, come, Lord Jesus, to enter into the love affair? That would be my expectation. But our job in the meantime is still to use our individual enlightenment for corporate transformation. Now, the scientific evidence is not good that institutions and corporations can operate at a high level. We're told that institutions, by necessity, have to be self-centered. They have to be concerned about self-maintenance, self-protection, raising money, providing for themselves. So I'm not sure that everything we're capable of as individuals can always be asked of an organization, a nation, or an institution. But we can still keep talking about it. We can still keep inviting people forward. We can still keep writing documents that enlighten the world. And then I guess I'm saying we have to let go of the consequences. And what God does from there is God's business. I hope that's some kind of satisfying answer.
Thank you. My ordaining bishop used to have a bumper sticker that said, "There is no secular world."